I want to speak on the thought, a man with a need. A man with a need. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. And a man with a need, the scripture says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts from your word. Your word is alive, is powerful. It's our authority. And it is your way of communicating with us. We ask you to speak this word to our hearts, meet needs. Lord, we pray for Christians who need to be strengthened and uplifted and encouraged. We pray for people here who are not saved and do not know what it is to be saved by the power of the crucified one, by the blood that was shed on Calvary. So we come praying that they this morning would understand and would turn to you and be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A man with a need. And he begins in verse 1. He says, hear my cry. Hear my cry. He is crying out from his heart. The cry can be a creaking or a shrill sound. But the man is broken up on the inside. And he is crying out. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Hear and attend. My cry, my prayer. He is praying from a broken, burdened heart. He's saying, it's me, O Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. And sometimes we want to say, those people need prayer. And I would not ask for a raise of hands, but is there anyone in here who does not need prayer? I would not ask for a raise of hands because someone might misunderstand and raise a hand. I need it. And you need it. And the psalmist said that he needed it. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. This is a promise, a commitment. Regardless where I am, to the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, that is, when my heart is faint, the idea is being overwhelmed from the darkness, and it could be the spiritual darkness. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Transport me, bring me, guide me to the rock. To a boulder. It's not just a little pebble, but it's a rock, a boulder, a cliff, a place where he can take refuge. This is a reference to the mighty God, to the rock that's higher than I. In those statements, he admits the sovereignty of God, the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we've kind of forgotten that he is sovereign in this country. But God is God. He's not my buddy. He's my Lord. And I'm subject to him. And it said, verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me. Now he acknowledges God's past blessings. He praises God for them. He said, thou hast been a shelter, a place of refuge, a place of hope, a place of renewing, a place of recovery. He said, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now in a tower, you can observe and prepare for the approaching enemy that's coming. And we have enemies. We have the world around us, the flesh within us, and the devil using these two to defeat us. And in verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Then he said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will abide in thy tabernacle, we would say in the church, forever. Now, he had a made-up mind. He had thought it through, and he said, I'm going to do it forever. This is a one-time decision, a one-time-for-all-time decision that he is going to abide forever with the Lord in the tabernacle. He said, I will trust in thy covered. He will abide, he will trust in the covering of thy wings. Wings, a place of protection, a place of safety, a place of power. The eagle can soar by the strength of his wings, but also wings can refer to God's army. So he is trusting in the Lord. He said, lead me, Lord. You don't have to drive me. You don't have to bribe me, because I'm on wit's end corner. I have finally come to the end of myself. And I've learned that you are Lord, and I'm willing to follow you. He said, I am desperate. You lead me by your power, your knowledge, and your wisdom. I've tried it all, and it all failed. Now, Lord, I surrender to you, and you lead me. You direct me, guide me, show me, provide for me, and open that way for me. See, what God may provide a way for us, but he has to open that way, because there are many obstacles. We have the enemies, the devil would have to stop us, and sometimes it's impossible for a person to even walk in the will of God unless God opens that way. You see, John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the liberty, the privilege of trusting him and becoming the sons of God. But God has to open that way. And he says, lead me. The enemies of destruction have surrounded me. He said, the howling winds of adversity are blowing in my life. Does anyone here have any winds of adversity? Or is everything that you do just so open and you just achieve and no opposition at all? Listen, the armies of wickedness are fighting against my soul, he says. Lead me to yourself. Lead me to your place. Lead me in your ways and lead me into your work. Oh, lead me in the place of blessing, a place of provision, a place of purpose. Lead me to a place of satisfaction. I've tried it all and nothing satisfies. Lead me to a place of peace and a place of usefulness. Oh, lead me. Left to myself, I am helpless in my present condition. I am hopeless, and because of it all, I am hurting. When he says, lead me, he means things are not as they ought to be. In the bosom of the soul, there is a restlessness, an emptiness, a hunger, a thirst, a desire for something that is missing. He is desiring something that satisfies, something that is lasting. Asking to be led indicates helplessness. He is incapable of getting to the desired place by himself. It is good to recognize our helplessness and turn to the one who is the help of the helpless. The man had known the rock, but was away from the rock, and he wanted to come back to the rock, and he needed help to get back. Listen, he was willing to be helped and led to that rock that was higher than he. A helpless man can be led, or a helpless man can be helped. So it is with the saved. The Bible tells us that if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, restoring one must be done by those who realize, except by the grace of God, they would be in the same condition. Listen, it's not the critical one or the holier-than-thou one that is to help restore unto the lost. Listen, we should lead them to Calvary. They are asking to be led to Calvary. You remember Philip in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. He was preaching in town and people were being saved, and the Lord spoke to him and said, you go down in the desert. You know, everything God says does not always make sense to us. And we don't have to unscramble it all. We have to be obedient. And he went. And down in the desert, there was a man riding in a chariot going to Ethiopia. Now, this man had come all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to one of those big meetings, religious meetings. And things didn't go like he had hoped they would go. The eunuch had been to Jerusalem to this great religious feast, this great celebration, while all of the spiritual dignitaries, all of the those who were supposed to have all of the knowledge were there, strutting their stuff. But the man had traveled all that distance and had all that expense, go and went to this great religious feast and left just as empty as he was when he went. And so it is so much, I think, today. But the Lord spoke to Philip and he said, that's why you're in the desert. Is that fella? You go get him. And Philip did. Now, I like this fellow. He was a deacon, and all deacons are that way. He was running along beside that chariot. Can you imagine? I heard a fellow giving a testimony, and he went into the bank, and he was telling people in the bank, I mean, you know, he's not very tactful there. He's just, you're kind of rude. But anyway, he would tell them how great it was down at the church, and he said, people were jumping out the windows and all, and he said everybody left. I don't know why, but they left. And I was thinking, man, they're jumping out the windows. That left me out. I didn't get out of bed this morning, but this man, he's running along beside that chariot, and the man asked, and he asked that fella, and he said, hey, he could run, talk at the same time. He said, hey, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? He said, how can I understand unless someone explained it to me? And he asked Philip to come up and in that chariot. He got in, began to explain to him what it meant and how to be saved. And the man accepted Christ. The Bible says Philip opened his mouth. That's a good way to do it. And began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He did not preach denomination, didn't preach the government and all of this. He preached Jesus. And the man was saved, took the gospel back to Ethiopia. And Ethiopia had the gospel before you and I had it. Isn't that something? But he said, lead me. Now he realized that he had a need. It was a personal need, an individual need. Let me ask, don't you have a need? Listen, just admit it to God. You see, it's not my mother, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now, it's sad for a person to have a need and not know that they have a need. It's sad indeed for a person to have a need, know that they have a need, but not know what to do about it. But it is most sad when a person has a need, know that they have a need, and know what to do about it, but refuse to do anything about it. There are many that way. And he said, lead me to the rock. To the rock. That's a special place, specific place. To a special person. The rock, of course, is Christ. And there was no doubt in this man's mind who he needed. There was a time in my life when there was no doubt who I needed. Now, I argued before that. I knew more about religion than the people who studied religion. I knew more than the preacher knew. I can tell you that. I knew so much. I didn't have to go to church. Didn't have to listen. Didn't have to do anything. But I tell you, when God brought me to the end of myself, amen, it was different then. And my need was met. If people would only ask directions to the rock of ages, they would have a firm foundation for time and eternity. But this man knew that he needed a sure foundation. One that is secure and dependable in time and eternity. He needed a solid foundation. One that the enemy cannot penetrate. Listen, he needed a super foundation. One on which a superstructure can be built. Jesus is building his church a superstructure on the foundation of himself. He needed a sovereign foundation. One that is immovable, unchangeable, and eternal. The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is immovable, unchangeable, and He is eternal. Listen, we have fled for refuge to Him, to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. He set it before us, and we laid hold on it. You see, societies change, governments change, philosophies change, but the Lord Jesus Christ never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So build your life on the sure foundation of the unchanging Christ. He said, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's higher than I. There again, he admits the sovereignty of God. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, there's a scripture that has four things in it. It says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor. God is a strength to the poor. There are times we must go in His strength. There are times we must allow Him to uphold us. Listen, you know, I've been walking this road a long time. And I will tell you this morning, one thing I know is that I don't know. And I've learned that I don't have to know. I have to trust I have to be obedient. And sometime we have to go to Him for His strength. He said He's been a strength to the needy in his distress. When there's need, there's distress. So we turn to the Lord. He's a refuge from the storm, from those destructive circumstances. He is a shadow from the heat. Now this is coming. A shadow from the heat when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against a wall. Listen, the storm is coming from the terrible ones. It's coming. It's coming. So when poverty comes, when the stressful times come, when the storms of life are howling and when the heat is on, when demons attack, when stock markets are crumbling, we need the rock that's higher than I. Listen, we need the one who is higher than I in purpose, in purity, the one that's higher than I in power. We need someone bigger than you and I. John, 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children." That's a good phrase. Ye are of God, little children. That is, you've been saved, been born again, but it's only by God's power, God's grace that you are of God. It's all of Him. And have overcome them. How did they overcome? How do we overcome? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We can't overcome because we are depending on Him. We surrender it to Him. The psalmist's request indicates a distance. He was living a guilty distance from God. When our will is not the same as God's will, fellowship is broken. I believe that's true of most Christians in the land today. Fellowship is broken and we become bitter. Then we agitate the streams of Christian fellowship. You can't fellowship with a bitter person. This man was separated from his haven of rest. Let me ask, are you living that guilty distance from God? If you return, you can say with a songwriter, "I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus, oh yes, in Jesus, I'm safe evermore." The psalmist's request suggests desire. He wanted to return. He said, "Lead me." He wanted to return. Listen, are you tired of running from God? Are you tired of it? Just return to Him now. His request suggests a decision. He had made up his mind to return. In this business, it takes a made up mind. You got to come to the place where you make up your mind. Said, "I'm going for God. I'm going for God." As I heard one fellow from India give a testimony, he said, "My name is Simon Peter." He said, "I burn all bridges behind me." We got to burn all the bridges behind me. Forget about the things that could have been. They never were and they never will be. Put your hand in the hand of the one who leads to the place where everything is perfect. It takes a made up mind. A person cannot halt between two opinions and have the blessings of God. Oh, that someone would make up their mind to return to the one who sought them. For His eternal purpose. Did you hear it? He sought us for His eternal purpose. And He bought us with His own precious blood. He sought us and He bought us. And all that we would return to the one who loved us with an everlasting love. Return. Prepare for the blast of the terrible ones. So when it comes, we don't have to ask why. We know everything is all right. His request speaks of determination. He was sincere. He asked to be led. He wanted the security and support in life that comes only from abiding under the shelter of the rock that's higher than I. I think most of you know the story behind the hymn, Rock of Ages. There was an evangelist, wanted to be an evangelist in Ireland. And so he went out. You know, that's what most evangelists do. They go out and the old man has a little success in a church. And he says, "I know God's calling me to win the world to Jesus. So he resigns his church and he goes into evangelism. He calls his friends, get a meeting, writes letters, and the first year does pretty good. Then the next year he's looking for a church. But anyway, this young fellow in Ireland wanted to be an evangelist. And he didn't have a church, a place to meet, so he found a barn where they would let him meet. And he went out to the barn and set up some seats, hay or something, and invited a few people. Hardly anybody came. And he began to preach, and nothing happened. I mean, nothing, not anything happened. One thing did happen. One little boy by the name of Gus came. And, no one took him seriously. So the evangelist was so discouraged that he just finally quit. But years later, that little boy, of course, grew up to a man, and he was walking down a road, a narrow road, and a rainstorm came up. He backed up under the cliff of a rock, and watching it rain, he reached in his pocket and took out a piece of paper and a pen, and he began to write, "Rock of Ages, cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee." And Augustus Toplady, the little boy, wrote that song, and we have it today. "O Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." He said that he wanted, the psalmist said, that "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." That word "abide," words are interesting, and it means to turn aside from the road for a lodging. We're traveling down the road, and things are not well, or it's nighttime, and we need to stop. And it means that we turn aside to find a place of habitation. We do it for a night. But the psalmist is looking for that for eternity. And God is saying, come abide, come abide. Turn aside from that road of self-will and come and get in on eternal life. Oh, listen. I tell you, this man's request revealed a seeking soul. He was seeking the rock of perfection. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect." Our work is not perfect. His work is perfect. "For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." You see, his ways are judgment. Judgment because his ways are right and they pass a verdict on you and me because our ways are not right. But we look at God's ways, come under conviction, and we can go to the rock. He was seeking the rock of provision. You remember when Moses and the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness and they needed water. And Moses struck the rock. God told him, strike the rock. And he did. And water gushed out of the rock. Listen, you cannot understand how you can hit a rock with a stick and get water out of it. Don't try it. I mean, it's not going to work. But listen, you can't understand how someone died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And because of that, life is flowing and you can have it by coming to him. You don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. Just get in on it. Listen, and he smote that rock. And water came out, the Bible says, abundantly. And the congregation drank and their beast also. That smitten rock blessed everyone and everything. Moses smote the rock, water gushed out, needs were met. The people drink of the miraculous water, and their killing thirst was satisfied. Listen, how about that eternal thirst in your soul? It'll never be satisfied till you drink from the rock of ages. There the beast of burdens drank their fill. When the church is flourishing, when God is in control, everything and everyone is blessed. Beautiful little desert flowers pushed their way through the stubborn sod and gave beauty in a parched desert. This green grass sprung up, carpet in the dry valley with new life. Moses smote the rock, and cool, fresh, thirst-quenching water gushed out. Listen to it. Drinking from the rock that Moses smote is symbolic of our drinking from the rock that God smote. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Drink of Him. Drink means to partake. Take within. And when the church drinks from the smitten rock, people are blessed. Even the animals are blessed. The land is blessed. Everyone and everything live in a state of blessedness. Now, He was seeking that rock of protection. Listen, He is our protection. We need Him. We had the privilege of living in a free nation. What a joy. We all ought to be on our faces before God thanking Him. In a land of freedom. If it wasn't for God, we would not be free. And the farther we drift from God, the less freedom we're going to have. Isaiah 32:2 says, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land. I read the story of a man in Texas. All those jackrabbits, and he had dogs, but they couldn't catch the jackrabbits. They were too fast. So he knew what he would do. He would get a greyhound. He got a greyhound and brought him out there. Oh, he's doing good with the greyhound. And one day the greyhound got after a cottontail. And the cottontail managed to crawl underneath a rock. And the greyhound was there and he was scratching and barking. The little rabbit was underneath, his heart beating fast and all. But the greyhound couldn't get him. He was under the rock. Oh, listen, without Christ, the hounds of hell are on your trail. Take refuge in the rock of ages. Amen. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Listen, we need to take refuge in the rock. We need Him. That was a man by the name of Robert Thompson. I assume there are a lot of Robert Thompsons. I knew one. And it wasn't this one. He owned 180 newspapers where they print newspapers. He owned 290 other companies. He had an estimate of $300 million. Now, that's not much in our day. Most people in here got more than that. But when this story, years ago, that was a lot of money. A lot of money. I can remember when a quarter was big. And he was asked, how would you like to have the New York Times? How much would you give for the New York Times? And like a flash, the man answered, I think I would mortgage my soul for the New York Times. Now listen to the sad words of this lonely soul. He said, I'm not close to anybody except my business. I just don't have a lot of personal friends. Listen, what kind of life is that? What kind of living is that? May I encourage you to reach for eternal life? Reach for it first. And listen, you can have it. Do you understand the Bible tells us that the Lord has put salvation in the reach of every person? Romans 10:9-10. Listen to the simplicity of salvation. Not that it's cheap, but it's simple for you and me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, acknowledge, confess it with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, acknowledge that He is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the lips of deity. Listen. For with the heart Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, it's not with the mind that we believe to salvation, it's with the heart. The heart surrenders to Him. Oh, you see, there is a need for the new birth. There is a need to be faithful to a gospel-preaching local church. There is a need to establish a Christian home. Not a religious home, but a Christian home. Oh, there is need for Christian fellowship. And may I ask, what decision will you make? Will you be willing to be led by the Lord Jesus? Just pray as the psalmist prayed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's a prayer. Just lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And we ask that, Christians, will you be willing and be prepared to lead someone to that rock? Are you in need of spiritual help of some kind out of a compassionate heart? We would do our best to help you. That psalmist prayed out of the deep crevices of his soul, Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. Let us stand with our heads bowed. We stand with our heads bowed. Musicians coming. Just a moment, we're going to have a verse of song. And we're going to give you this opportunity to trust Christ. We want you to come to Jesus and be saved. We want you to settle that old account for time and eternity. Do what that eunuch in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts did. Receive Christ into your heart. He went on his way rejoicing. Oh, he didn't have his need met at that big religious celebration. But out in the desert, when God sent a soul winner down, he met Jesus and took the gospel back to his country. If you would obey and be saved, you could take that gospel to your family. God would help you to do it. Let go and let God today. Our Heavenly Father, have your will and your way in every heart and life. Lord, help that person who knows they need to be saved to say yes to Jesus today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.